For some reason, I wanted to change the opening music to the, you know, Highlander music, but I somehow think I'd get sued if I did that. I don't know why that idea just popped in my head.
Yeah, the Terminator music would be better.
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I wonder if we could speed it up, slow it down, speed it up, slow it down.
Do some kind of a remix on it? Yeah.
Yeah. Change it at least 10%. Should be good.
Maybe. This is Pure Decking show number 376 for Thursday, December, what is it, the 12th?
It's Friday the 13th for me.
Pardon me, do you have the year? This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and Merry fucking Christmas. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Are You. What's up, Are You?
Oop. How much, man? Christmas. Yeah. Booze. Drugs. Family.
In that order.
In that order. Well, for me, it has to be. Just to get through the family part.
So.
I got a pure timeline, man. It's 2 hours. There's a window of 2 hours I will see people for, and that's it. It's back here to play video games.
You start twitching, realizing you're starting to get on an overdose. It's like, guys, I got to go. Things are about to get violent.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that tends to be a thing.
Yeah. You know, be
I'll
like
upset
mad,
someone.
Be like Madman's family, you know, reunions where there's more guns than people there.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, it's an interesting time of year, anyway.
Yeah, it is.
You've done your Thanksgiving thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're finished for the year.
No.
Are you doing Christmas as well?
I got to do Christmas, yeah.
Wow.
Got to go back.
Oh, man,
and,
that would suck. Having 2 days? Wow.
Got to go back, deal with the family, visit with them, and pretend to care about politics. That's what everybody does on holidays now is yell at each other about politics, right?
This is the bit that I don't get, because I'm really into politics. I just spend the entire morning watching the election result out of the UK. I don't care. I really don't care about politics. It's my sports ball. I know all the details of all the players and everything like that, but come Sunday, I can't influence the game. No matter how much I know about it, there's nothing I can do to help my team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody thinks that I'm really passionate. I'm not passionate. I'm just really interested. I know I can't make a difference in the outcome, so I don't get emotionally invested in it. If people would only realize that, they'd have less emotion involved. Because you can't change the fucking world. You just can't. Like, all these people running around on a crusade to save the planet? I'm sorry, you can't. You don't matter at all.
I have a feeling you're right, that a lot of them truly are just desperate for some kind of meaning. So.
Yeah. You know, I laughed off when a few intellectuals said that climate change was the new religion. It doesn't actually look like it. You know, they got themselves a pope yesterday, and I think the irony of it is that the little climate goblins now got a photo on a magazine that is printed on paper that requires trees to be sacrificed. Oh, the irony.
Yes, well, you know, how dare you has to get a paycheck somehow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
I wish she'd go full emo and get it tattooed on her forehead.
Just how dare you across the forehead? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. My childhood on her chin.
You know, I actually feel really sorry for her. Because 10 years from now, she's not going to be employable. She's not going to go anywhere in life. They're not going to give two flips about her in the media because she's no longer the child calling for things. So,
yeah,
you know, she's just going to be this emotionally broken person who with no support system and nothing left.
Like, we're just think back to when you were like 16. You were super passionate about something that you talked about constantly, and I bet you it was PCs or computers or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was cars and things like that. You can't make your entire life about one thing. It doesn't work unless you're going to make an employment out of it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I did.
But then again, it becomes very unhealthy when it's the only thing you have. But that's why you have other hobbies, because you realize you can't just do work 24/7.
Yeah, you go nuts, which I did a couple of times, if you remember. So
I wouldn't say you've lost it at all.
You came close a few times.
Well, there's nothing you've ever needed chemical help to reorganize, if you know what I mean.
That's probably true.
Where I know a few people who've required chemical help after going too far down the rabbit hole of one passion or another.
Well, I start self-medicating. That's what the bourbon's for. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's the same. But, I limit my online and stuff like that by not having a phone. So I can actually unplug.
Oh, we were talking earlier, and Static was like, man, I wish we'd gotten Slack. It's like, I fucking hate Slack. Oh, God, I hate Slack. Because it never stops. It never fucking stops.
Yeah. You thought about taking some time off from the phone there?
Actually, I usually do. On the weekends and when I'm just doing projects, phone goes upstairs and usually stays on silent. And then I'll have to apologize to people the next day.
I think if you start being firm and hard about, like, hey, I don't use my phone on a weekend. So, you know, if it's an emergency, yeah, I'll get to it. But I'm not going to replying to anything. If you just stick with that hard and fast rule, people will eventually just stop. It's generally how I seem to do it. Just set the ground rules straight away. You know, I don't do that. And fuck them.
Well, I've had the conversation with my boss that if it's the weekend, I promise you I'm probably not looking at my phone. And if you need something, you need to call it. And that's worked, because they have, of course. But, I'll sit there and look at my phone after Saturday and I've, you know, spending all day tweaking a printer or going out flying a drone or something. And, you go and look at all them, because, you know, I mute notifications while I'm flying. I don't want to see all that crap. You go look at the notifications, and there's like five or six questions from people doing shit over the weekend or wanting an opinion or something. And it's like, what are you doing? It's Saturday.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I hate Slack because it starts at 7 in the morning. It goes to 8 o'clock at night. My phone is in the other room. When I do decking, the phone is in the other room. Because invariably, it will go off.
The amount of podcasts I listen to where dudes' phones are just blowing up constantly. And you hear them checking it while they're doing the podcast, and then it's like dead air.
Or you hear this is not a phone, it's a hard drive. But you hear the of them dropping their phone to work on something, or... Yeah. You know, the sound of them putting something down, it's usually their fucking phone. For clarity, that was a 500 gig M2 SSD in a Silverstone case, not a cell phone. But
Morps probably throws his phone across the other side of the room.
Let me find something to simulate a phone throw with.
No, don't worry, you fucking put a hole in the wall. You're like, dude, I put a hole in my wall.
Well, there's also nothing on the desk that's worth chucking. It's like, no, that's a good part. That's a good part. That's nostalgic.
You're not on Twitch, so there's no point in throwing the animal.
Ah, that's a good point. So, actually, he's asleep at the moment, so I don't... It's like, no, it's good. I'm just going to leave that alone. All right,
leave the bundle of arsehole alone.
I'm going to leave that thing alone for the moment. Let's move into this. I am doing this story not because I care about this, but because of what it says about the average Facebook user. It's from Business Insider. Amid ongoing criticism, Facebook is considering using a label to let people know that political ads aren't fact-checked. No fucking shit.
Shit.
How... Facebook is the largest advertising platform in the world, with the power to reach over 2 billion users directly. That's why the company's decision to not fact-check political advertising, even when the ads contain falsehoods, has been so controversial. Who does? What advertising or media organization fact-checks political ads? When has that ever been a requirement?
It never has been.
That's. I mean,
we're gonna do something because too many people are complaining about something, but it turns out it's less than 0.1% of the people complaining.
No, it's we're gonna do something because too many people on our platform are so fucking brain dead they don't realize it's a political ad and they think it's a story or something.
Oh, so the average user can't discern between what is advertising and what is.
Why would you need a label? Why else would you need a label if they can't tell? I mean,
I don't want to think that we as a species are this stupid.
And that's why I want to do this story. The company decided to fact-check some posts after concerns of widespread fake news on the platform. But in people bullshit on the internet. No shit. But in September, it said it would not extend the same moderation to political advertising. Politicians have lambasted the company for it, and as have some of Facebook's own employees. Again, how? How do you fact-check a political ad where you say, my opponent thinks this, or I think that? I mean, how do you fact-check that? It's like, you just, I know how you do it. You take the Silicon Valley typical approach. Do they have an R next to any of their name? It's a lie.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Company CEO Mark Zuckerberg has remained steadfast in his argument that political advertising is equivalent to political speech. As recently as this week, Zuckerberg said in a CBS This Morning, or in an interview with CBS This Morning co-host Gayle King, in a democracy, it's really important that people can see for themselves what politicians are saying so they can make their own judgments. I don't think that a private company should be censoring politicians or news. I don't know how much he believes that, but it is the right sentiment.
I don't think he believes any of it. I think he's just saying that to keep regulators off his back.
I'm sure.
I'm thinking if you can't tell the difference between a political ad and a piece of political information or news, maybe you shouldn't have the vote.
Well, you know,
throwing it out there, man. I'm not anti-democracy or anything, but I can see it from here.
I mean, the idea of maybe we should bring back the literacy tests is, of course, that's got some history, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. But everyone's running around saying the political system's broken. It's only as good as the people voting. So technically, you're saying that, you know, public is broken.
Yeah, we do need to figure this shit out, don't we?
We need another big world war. Cull his population down a bit.
Let's see. Discussions with Facebook appear to be ongoing. The report says that a variety of ideas have been floated as social media giant holds ongoing discussions with officials from both major political parties. Beyond straight-up labeling ads as not fact-checked, the company is also reportedly considering imposing a variety of limits on political ad campaigns, from limitations on total number of ads run to limitations on ad targeting. Facebook has yet to announce any official changes to its political ad policy. We are looking at different ways we might refine our approach to political ads, a Facebook spokesperson told Business Insider. Facebook isn't the only major social media company facing the difficult question of how to deal with political advertising. Twitter, for instance, chose to outright ban political ads. So this is about paying for reach and paying to increase the reach of political speech as political. Okay, he's an idiot. It's like, yes, that is in fact how reach works. And up until social media took off a few years ago, if you didn't have the money or somebody with the money backing you to put you on a platform, you didn't have that much reach. That's how it worked. And, you know, unless you had the ability to, you know, just twist the media around your pinky and make them do what you want, sort of like what Trump did a few years ago.
Well, this is a thing. This is where Trump capitalized without having to see this.
Yeah, he figured out the formula.
I think a lot of political machines,
or maybe
now,
he stumbled into it, I don't know, but
yeah, I think a lot of political machines now are still of that mindset. We have to spend millions and millions and millions. They don't.
Well, that's of course
costs fuck all for reach now.
Of course, but think about it. If you're running Business Insider or, you know, fuck Facebook advertising or whatever, the last thing you want is to tell these politicians that they don't need to spend money, that instead they need to, you know, be out there, be interesting, and get reach on, you know, just organically. No, this concept that you have to spend money for reach, that is enshrined in the media because that's how they pay for their kids' college. That's how they make their money. Every 2 years for them is Christmas. Because, I mean, no matter which side spends stupid amounts of money on political ads, it's the advertising agencies that win.
Yeah, and that's right. That's what I think Trump figured out. You want reach, just, and same with Boris Johnson. You want reach, be bold, be brash. And be daring. Have some character. You know?
Yeah. So, this idea that Facebook has to go label political ads as not fact-checked blows my mind, because it's like, it's a political ad. They're politicians. How do you know if a politician is lying? Their mouth is moving. I mean, come on.
Yeah, like, Dee Cortez figured that out as well with her political stuff. And, you know, I don't find her very interesting or anything like that, but she's definitely got the reach with certain people because she has a certain look and a certain IQ that people are drawn to. But I don't think she'll get any further traction after this. This will be her first and last time in politics. But you want to make political headlines, just do something bold and brash. And you'll get all the coverage in the world. Because these reporters are as lazy as fuck. As far, if it's not, doesn't exist on Twitter, it didn't happen in the world for them.
I think that's true. I don't think there any of them are out doing the old traditional, you know, hit the streets and talk to people thing anymore. I think they're all just sitting on their computers on Twitter, reading press releases, and then just, you know, whatever somebody said.
That's how I believe the polls got so fucked up for the Trump election, too, because they just sat on Twitter and went, yeah, but she's going to win by a landslide. And the next one went, yes, she will. Yes, she will, because that's all they were seeing. Because I don't know how much money she spent running against Trump, but I think it was probably easily 3-1.
It was.
Yeah.
And it was all in the positive. Billions.
It was all positive, positive, positive. I mean, if they just laughed at Trump and dismissed him and not said shit about the man, he would have lost.
But the thing was, they actually tried to do that in the beginning. Like, they were originally covering his campaign in the entertainment section in a lot of newspapers.
Yeah, but, and then he got traction with people.
Yeah.
Because people stopped going, he is just a reality TV. He has got a little political nounce about him. He's not the perfect gentleman, but hey, better than... what's going? And this is just what's happened in the British election now. Boris Johnson is the weirdest fucking political character in the world, because when he's not doing something, no one knows he exists. But when he wants to do something, it's fucking front line headlines. Like yesterday, he didn't want to answer a question, so he told him to fuck off and went into a freezer. And then Boris Johnson got free publicity for the entire 24 hours till the election. It didn't have to be positive either. It's just his fucking name out there. But anyway, yeah, this ad thing, it should just have ad written on it. That's all. It doesn't need to be fact checked. Just have paid for by down the bottom. That's all.
And I don't, like I said, I don't know any platform that's ever had to fact check political ads before. I mean, maybe I'm naive or just don't know, but... I don't remember, like, is there a requirement to check political ads anywhere?
I think a lot of it that there's a certain percentage of the population need to be coddled 24 hours a day, otherwise they lose their shit. Because they've got no idea of satire or anything like that. I think that's what they're doing. They're coddling the complainers.
Yeah, here's an article from factcheck.org in 2004, basically saying that there's no law requiring political fact-checking.
Yeah, and they're complaining about fact-checkers?
Well, I know, but that's the point I'm trying to make, is that no platform has ever been required to fact check, or I mean, I guess some magazines or maybe a TV station, you know, did it or, you know, refused an ad if they felt it was dishonest. But I don't know of any requirement that was ever existed before for these to fact check a political ad. So,
you know, I feel sometimes we need someone on this show that just thinks opposite to us. Because we're just agreeing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how you'd even start to make the argument without calling everyone retarded. I actually believe in people that they're not that stupid.
Well, I mean, I think of it like this. If you've got a politician who's blatantly putting out an obviously false political ad, you know, I don't know, you know, somebody puts out an ad that says, Bernie Sanders once shot a man just to watch him die. You know, some shit like that.
Oh, you can go with the Dodge Rambler ad last year from Kentucky, I think it was. Oh, no, from 2016, where you had, like, the immigrant kids walking down the road, and they implied that the Republican politician was in a pickup truck trying to run them over.
Yeah, shit like that. I mean, you know, people ought to be able to look at that and make a judgment for themselves about the person who would run that ad.
I didn't need that ad fact-checked. I knew the man would do it. It just persuaded me from buying that truck because it couldn't catch a couple of immigrant kids and it couldn't run them down. Bad advertising for Dodge.
There it is.
No, but that's the world you're living in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if what sort of person goes, yeah, I think he would do that. No, that's... What is it? Yeah. You know what I'm saying. We're just agreeing. So. Yeah.
Moving on?
Yeah.
All right. Next one is from app.com. Static sent me this one. Axon Meridian computer disruption delayed patient care, nurses union says. So Axon Meridian, it's a hospital system somewhere. Probably in a place called Axon. Let's see. Axon Meridian Health patients last week ran into delays and disruptions after the healthcare system's computer network went down for 2 days and slowly came back online, an official from the nurses' union said Monday. Bridget Devane, a spokeswoman for the Health Professionals and Allied Employees Union, said nurses could not rely on computers to do basic tasks like deliver lab results quickly or provide accurate information about patients' medication. From our members' perspective, it meant they had to revert back to the old system of doing everything by paper, which created complications on the floors and delayed a lot of information they typically, or they wouldn't have typically had to wait for, Devane said. Edison-based Axon Meridian is New Jersey's biggest healthcare system, with 17 hospitals, $6 billion in annual revenue, and more than 35,000 employees. Locally, it owns Jersey Shore University Medical Center in Neptune, Riverview Medical Center in Red Bank, Bay Shore Medical Center in Holmdel, Ocean Medical Center in Brink, and Southern Ocean Medical Center in Stafford. It is part of an industry that has been prodded by the government for the last decade to move online more quickly to deliver care more efficiently with fewer mistakes. Axon Meridian hasn't disclosed the cause of the disruption, saying only that it was caused by an externally driven event. It said last week that it rescheduled a small number of non-emergency procedures and that its core clinical systems were back online by Friday. We continue to work with on-site experts to analyze this disruption in our IT system. We'll have more information to share once the investigation is complete. So obviously these guys were hit by malware or ransomware or something of some kind, right?
Yeah.
And this is where, and of course, you know, this affect, you know, in my point of view, because I do network security, right? That's like my day job. Okay. Like, you know, some companies, or if you're doing, you know, if somebody's Netflix gets hacked or Facebook's get hacked, it's embarrassing or inconvenient. You know, if a bank gets hacked, that's bad because then you got to go through all that and get your money back, and that's a nightmare. But the healthcare systems, man, those computers go down. I mean, you are literally talking about the possibility of people dying if you're not maintaining your IT systems correctly.
Yeah, it's a brown shorts moment for the IT staff.
I mean, this is where proper backups, proper systems, proper security has to be done.
it's, I don't know what more to say on this, but what you just said.
Like, well, I mean, I take it personally because, you know, it's my job, right? So
yeah.
This is where, you know, I get in arguments with people, other IT people all the time who don't think it's as important, or they don't understand why I'm trying to implement controls. And, you know, I've actually had one guy flat out ask me, you know, why do I hate him? Because I kept trying to, you know, make things more secure. And it's like, I don't, but I don't want to see this shit get fucked up, right? So, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, you know, maybe you got to listen to your security people and actually fund this shit. Because I know for a fact, a lot of places I've dealt with, it's not that the people in charge didn't want to do it correctly. It's that they could not get the budget to implement the systems correctly. You know, it's all in shoestring. It's all in minimum requirement. And, you know, always minimum staff. So you work people to the bone and they quit and walk out the door on you. And then is it any wonder this shit gets popped like this?
Because it's all a magic wizard in the box. You don't actually do anything. It's like you encourage the wizard to get better or whatever. That's how most people view computers, man.
Or, you know, slip it a beer when they're not looking. That way, you know, it behaves nicely. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, give it nice compliments. It'll start working again. Especially when you're in the medical profession, man. Because it's apples and rocks. IT and medical, like dealing with people and dealing with machines, completely different. They're not going to have any tolerance for your fuck up. And it may not even been your fuck up. It may have been one of theirs. But 2 weeks, everybody needs to come in on a Saturday and we're going to fucking talk about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is definitely everybody in. We're going to run down and see where this happened. And someone will be taking responsibility. And it may even be management.
Well, especially if they've got reports and messages from the people trying to implement this stuff saying, hey, this isn't right. We need to fix this. Hey, can I get...
Well, that's,
you know,
that's what I mean. I'd pretty much do a internal audit with all my people.
Well, you have to. And what usually happens is you'll get somebody... on the business side of the house, which for a hospital would be, I mean, there's still a business side, right? Because there's still somebody doing, you know, the bean counter, right? Who's come in and say, no, sorry, can't afford it. You know, make it work with what you got. And
so if you couldn't get everyone in on a Saturday, right, because they've said, no, we're not going to pay them, it'd be right to go to your team, right? You'll be here on Saturday if you want a job on Monday. I don't give a fuck. Like, this is going to test how much you want this job.
That is crazy illegal.
I know it is, but I'm just fucking around in my head, man. Because this is what I'd expect.
Happens. No, that kind of shit happens too. You know, we need people to volunteer on the weekends. And by the way, anyone who doesn't volunteer will be remembered when it comes time for evaluations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it that sort of work, man? It's not a 9-to-5. You've got to know each other pretty well, strengths and weaknesses, things like that. But the hospital needs to chuck a bit more money at IT or think about bringing in external auditing. Figure out where the fuck up is, because this is unacceptable.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what'd you say? They're a $6 billion a year hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is unacceptable. A 2-week downtime? Nope.
Because, okay, they've got the nurses going back to doing paper charts and manually running things around, which, admittedly, sure, that's how they did it 20 years ago, but when the systems haven't been designed around that kind of stuff, you're looking at some pretty significant delays in things. You really could be looking at somebody's life getting screwed up because they're not getting taken care of in time.
Then you got to hire a heap of people to import all that paperwork back into the network when it's back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, this isn't just oopsie. This is huge. And a $6 billion organization really needs to have a hard look at itself. Right. So it's just ransomware, won't it? Just lock them out.
Probably. That's usually the story.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're saying it's an outside actor, I mean, that's my first thought is a ransomware.
Don't call the FBI. Fix your own in-house shit first.
Well, and that's the thing is with something like ransomware, though, the finger pointing gets really funny really quick with ransomware. And I've seen this, right, where, you know, you have the end user who's the one that fell for the phishing email. And the first thing they say is, well, why didn't IT prevent this email from coming in? It's like, well, if you understood how difficult that actually is, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. We're talking about people who are dealing with people and people who are dealing with machines.
Yeah,
the
and
world
they're like,
couldn't
you know,
be further apart.
It's like, well, you know, why didn't you computer people just magic it up and keep it from happening?
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, I've had that conversation too. And that's never a fun conversation because then you have to explain to somebody that it's not magic. There's actually a science to it. It only has, you know, there are certain key indicators. I have literally had to explain to people that no, security scanners and antivirus are quite fallible and miss shit all the time. I've had that conversation, and it's always fun to watch somebody lose their shit. It's like, well, how do I rely on it then? Well, it's a best effort, man.
I mean, I love it, man. I love it. Well, but when they get that little fucking rabbit panic in their eyes when they realize that what they're relying on to keep them alive isn't that reliable.
Well, it's
and it's that scared moment where they realize everything's built on a fucking lie.
I like equating it to going camping, right? When you go out camping out in the woods, night, fire's out, everybody's asleep. And if you're just on the ground, you're going to feel exposed and scared in your sleeping bag. But you got that little piece of nylon between you and the rest of the world, you're okay. Because that little easily torn, taut piece of nylon that's ultra light, so it packs down and barely waterproof.
I'm going to keep your analogy. Yours is better than mine.
Because that's really going to do something for you if a wolf or a coyote or a bear decides it wants in your sleeping bag with you.
Yeah. I like that. I'm gonna use yours from now on. It's a lot better.
I mean, you know, you think about the security blanket, and what's it really going to do for you? And
for anybody who's interested, there's a audio clip of a man being eaten alive by a black bear who was just sleeping on the ground like that. Yeah, black bears don't kill you. They just eat you as they go.
Well, it doesn't need to be cruel about it. I mean, you know, it's just like, I'm not going to kill
the
dude.
There's nothing
hungry.
Cruel about what the bear's doing, man. It's just eating.
Yeah, it's just
hungry.
It's
just unfortunate it's eating a man who decided to camp on the ground. So, anyway, let's go to the next story.
All right, this next one is from Forbes. Are you one of Avast's 4 million users? Here's why it collects and sells your web habits. Yeah, the free security software is just as bad as the damned malware.
God damn.
Avast, a multi-billion dollar Czech security company, doesn't just make money from protecting its 4 million users' information. It also profits in part from the sale of the users' web browsing habits and has been doing so since at least 2013. And for anybody who ever wondered why it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody, most people don't ask that question. They just go, ooh, free antivirus. So it's led to some labeling its tools spyware, the very thing Avast is supposed to be protecting from. Both Mozilla and Opera were concerned enough to remove Avast tools from their add-on stores earlier this month, although the antivirus provider says it's working with Mozilla to get its products back online. But recently appointed chief executive Andrei Velchek tells Forbes there's no privacy scandal here. All that user information that it sells cannot be tracked back to individual users, he assesses, asserts.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Here's how it works, according to Velchek. Avast users have their web activity harvested by the company's browser extensions. But before it lands on the Avast servers, the data is stripped of anything that might expose the individual's identity, such as a name in the URI, as when a Facebook user is logged in. All that data is analyzed by Jumpshot, a company that's 65% owned by Avast, before being sold as insights to customers. Those customers might be investors or brand managers. What do those customers get? Vlex says Jumpshot, which was initially acquired in 2013, provides insights on how cohorts of users on the internet use the web. For instance, it could show a percentage of visitors who went from one website to another. That could be useful for anyone monitoring an advertising campaign. Typical customers would be, for example, investors who would be interested in how online companies are doing in terms of their new campaigns. The new Avast chief explains, say Amazon launches a new product, Jumpshot could determine how much interest is getting online. Jumpshot's own website is a little more detailed, promising incredibly detailed clickstream data from 100 million global online shoppers and 20 million global app users. It's possible to track what users searched for, how they interacted with a particular brand or product, and what they bought, looking to any category, country, or domain. Pretty sure that's enough data that you could take a data set and reconstruct who it came from. Might take a bit of detective work, but not as much as Avast is saying, I'm sure. So, whoops.
Yeah, I'm looking at their website. They say they do a lot with this information.
Yep. That might be a bit unnerving to privacy predisposed folk, but Vlek compares this kind of data trading to the kind seen in healthcare. In that market, anonymized data is used to create case studies whereby looking at data trends, it could be determined who's more likely to get a disease. As a final assurance, Vlek told Forbes he recognizes customers use Avast to protect their information, and so it can't do anything that might circumvent the security or of privacy of the data, including targeting by advertisers. So we absolutely do not allow any advertisers or any third party to get any access through Avast or any data that would allow the third party to target that specific individual, he adds. As for how much money this actually makes for Avast, it's around 5% total revenue, says Vlek. Given the first half of 2019 revenues, that stood at just under $430 million. That's still more than 20.
One of their guarantees is following users' journeys at atomic levels. Whatever the fuck that means. Is God knows.
Atomic in software usually means every single little click down to the mouse movements.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure they get that graph of where your mouse hovered on a web page if you're running this shit.
Ooh, then I'm going to draw a dick while I'm at their website.
Now I'm just thinking of opening up, what was the thing we were playing the other day, Scribble.io?
Well, that sucks. I don't think anyone listening to this show wouldn't know the old adage that you are the product if it's free.
Yeah.
It's always a good discussion to have with people.
In this case, that's certainly true, too, so. But, anyways, I mean, not surprising.
Free download or beware.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sad part, is it's even not even really surprising. So. Next one up is from Ars Technica. Let's see, look at the clock. Okay. Just seeing where I was. From Ars Technica. I don't think I've pasted the links in yet. I can do that. Got distracted. Here we go. Fewer than 10% of Americans are buying $1,000 smartphones, report says.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, most people aren't $1,000.
Exactly.
I mean, I bought one, but I felt bad doing it. It's like, I could justify it, but, you know, kind of. And consumers in major cities are more likely to take the plunge than others. Well, of course. We've already seen indications that American consumers are holding on to their smartphones longer than before, posting challenges for companies like Apple and Samsung, whose mobile phone sales are important to the bottom line. A new NPD report reiterates that point, but adds that fewer than 10% of American smartphone buyers spend more than $1,000, effectively ruling out flagship phones like iPhone 11 Pro and Samsung Note 10 that gather most of the marketer and media attention. The main point of concern raised by NPD report, though, is 5G adoption. 5G phones will likely be unaffordable for many consumers at first, with the first wave of mainstream 5G phones in 2020 likely to cost as much at least $1,000 in most cases. On the other hand, consumer awareness on the imminent rollout of 5G is high, and many consumers cited that coming change is a reason why they're holding out on spending big new phones. Are big on new phones. It could be that some consumers who can afford the $1,000 handsets but haven't made the plunge will do so when 5G arrives, provided that it actually offers all the benefits the marketers have claimed. And speaking of cities and regions, the report also found notable differences in smartphone buying habits across different designated market areas. For example, the NPD claims that Americans in major urban centers like New York City or LA are more likely to spend $1,000 or more on a smartphone. It's unclear where the data whether this is a result of comparatively high average incomes or other factors. Well, of course it's other factors. It's status. You know, a couple of years ago, people used to joke at parties that, if you didn't have an iPhone, you weren't going to get laid. I think that was mostly coming from Apple, truth be told. But, that was something that went around.
Increase your chance of being mugged. 22%. Yeah, that could be some of that marketing shit.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear a Rolex. I wouldn't own a phone like that. Yeah, you're just asking for trouble.
I think the first company that comes out, like Blue's in a good position to do this, where they come out with a phone that's really good and costs like $200, and it's not, and they actually get it in the hands of the carrier, so it looks like an actual option rather than, a Chinesium thing you get off Amazon. Because, I know Statix had some Blue phones, and he really liked them. And, they've gotten some good reviews, and they're not nearly as expensive. I think the first company that comes out with a phone that's, got a good camera, got a good processor, does what you want, and doesn't cost stupid amounts of money, they're just going to clean up.
Yeah. But I think you'll always get the status chasers.
Oh, of course.
That want the eye or the latest.
Well, it's like a car, right? I mean, you can spend, you want to spend $100,000 on a car, you can. I'm sure you can find a way to do it.
Yeah.
I got some people at work talking about Teslas right now, and it's like, well, what do those things cost? Oh, $60,000. Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I'm good, thanks. I forgot what I was going to say.
Somebody could, you can always spend as much as you want on something. And so if you have somebody who's wanting to show off, but yeah, I think the first time you start seeing it as a commoditized item that it's good enough and doesn't cost more than a couple $100 and is generally available and just kind of works. Cause that's the real problem you have with a lot of the lower end phones right now. Is you go to play a game on them and it can't run them or chugs or, it doesn't have the right kind of support or in a lot of cases it's like running an older version of Android. So, you get the first couple of companies that come out with a mainstream accessible one that's not stupid expensive, they'll just clean up and that'll be the commodity phone. And then you'll just have, you'll have people buying the high-end phones with status symbols, but you won't have it. Or, the handful of people who actually need a phone like that.
Yeah.
I do need a smartphone. I do need a phone with a fairly significant amount of processing power because I have worked from my phone before, more often than I would like to admit. That's one of the major selling points of that line of phones for me was I can hook it up to a monitor and it has a desktop mode.
That's awesome.
That's the Samsung Dex thing, which if you look into it, it's really cool. Now they killed the best feature for it, which was that they were going to support a Linux, but I have had multiple instances where just popping my phone on a monitor and being able to work, was required for my job.
That's cool.
So and I pay for it. I know what I'm paying for that damn thing.
Yeah, you'll get your money's worth too.
Well, yeah, I mean I use it in my job, but you get away without having a phone at all Madman doesn't usually go for the super high-end phones because all he needs to do is make calls and texts and occasionally play Ingress. You know, Static's like me. He's on the phone constantly, so he usually tries to get a better high-end phone.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of your job. And, you know, I mean, I kind of envy Madman not needing his phone and not being, you know, pestered at all hours after hours about this kind of shit. Because sometimes that would just be nice, you know?
Yeah.
So, pay for your own leash, I guess. Tracker, leash. And they want to make monitor. It your payment system. Monitor, yeah.
Yeah.
I was fooling around. There's an app called Privacy that lets you generate credit card numbers. I was trying to see if I could link that to the Android Pay, the RFID thing. I didn't get very far, but it's like that would be the way to do it because I don't want to put my real credit card in a RFID reader.
I figure I'm just going to end up like the Dennis Leary character from Demolition Man as the future rolls on and phones become payment systems and shit like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of more shit here, you ready to move on?
Yeah, I was just going to one more thing on the status symbol thing. Mm-hmm. I've actually found myself not smoking in public anymore. But, because they're so expensive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It just makes me a target of those who don't have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I'm sure if anybody who sees, hey, man, can I bum a cigarette?
Yeah, and they know, and they're going to take it personally. So, yeah, I've curbed my tobacco use in public, definitely. Just for fear of getting fucking robbed, to be honest. Not for public health or anything. But anyway, moving along.
Next article is from ZDNet. The FBI recommends that you keep your IoT devices on a separate network. Your Internet of Things devices on a separate network. I just, you know, there's not really much to talk about here other than just, that's pretty bad. When the FBI is the one saying, you know, guys, these things suck. Maybe you ought to, like, buy a second router and, or, you know, put them on a guest network or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's almost not even really anything to say. The FBI says owners of Internet of Things devices should isolate the equipment on separate Wi-Fi networks, different from the ones they're using for their primary devices, such as laptops, desktops, or phones. Your fridge and your laptop should not be on the same network, FBI's Portland office said in a weekly tech advice column. Keep your most private sensitive data on a separate system from your other IoT devices. The same advice to keep separate keep devices on separate Wi-Fi network or LAN has been shared in the past by multiple IT and security experts, so of course. Blah, 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 they go into explaining it. It's just to the point where even the FBI is like, guys, come on, lock your doors.
Yeah. I was just thinking Amazon must have pissed them off or something.
Hmm? Well, they didn't get a Ring deal, obviously.
Obviously.
I mean, there's nothing else to say there.
The absolute fucking state. If only you knew how bad it really was. If only. God damn. Anyway.
I mean, what else is there to say on that? I mean, really?
There's nothing, man. If the FBI have just thrown their hands up, go, look, fuck it. It's out of control. Best thing you can do, separate. It's going to spy on you. Just don't let it take your credit card.
Pretty much, man. Actually, they're more worried about people because they're really easy to get into. So people are using them to get into your Wi-Fi network and shit.
Yeah.
So, and the last article I have for tonight is one sent to me by you. Are you?
Oh, it's I'm honored.
This is from the BBC. I don't know why I need to post the link. You already got it. You sent it to me.
Yeah, I've already read it. We've already discussed it. So, just rehash. Yeah.
This is from the BBC. Man killed by Lexus car being remotely started. I have so many questions. A New York man died after being crushed by an empty car accidentally started by remote control. Michael Kasanovich, 21, had been standing between two parked 2002 Lexus IS300Ss on, so two of the same car, by the way, on the 6th of December, when one of them had been started remotely by its owner, police said. The car rolled forward and he was pinned between the two vehicles. Bystanders tried to push them apart, but as they did so, the car rolled forward and crushed him again, like something out of a cartoon.
I'm sure, okay, I'm trying to vision this now. So his legs are crushed. Two dudes run over. They push the car back. Instead of turning it off, putting it in a drive, neutral, they just push it away. Man slumps down chest height. They let go of car. Car hits man again.
Right?
Play Roadrunner music. There's some Wile E. Coyote fucking shit right here. I'm starting to think in things that never happened.
Mr. Kasanovich was taken to the hospital with severe trauma to his torso and legs, so I'm thinking your situation's accurate. According to the New York Police Department, he died of his injuries on the 7th of December. I'm not making fun of the dead. I just, this story is so weird. The New York Police Department said Mr. Kasanovich had been inspecting one of the vehicles at the time of the accident, intending to buy it. So, did this happen on a car lot, maybe? Which might be why there were two of the same car next to each other?
Yeah.
A spokeswoman for Toyota Motor North America told BBC our deepest sympathy goes out to the family and friends of Michael Kasanovich. Although many details are unknown at this time, we've reached out to local law enforcement to offer support in the investigation. Toyota added that Lexus did not offer a factory-installed remote start in the 2002 IS car model. So it's not a factory remote. That's interesting because that affects the conversation we were having earlier.
Yeah, it does.
This suggests such a remote ignition system would need to be retrofitted to work with the 2002 Lexus IS300. The system's instruction manual warns they should never remotely start the engine if they are unaware of the circumstances surrounding the vehicle, as it could pose a threat to the lives of anyone in the car's vicinity. Which is kind of true, but like my car has a remote start, and if the thing ain't in park, you can't start it. It won't do it. Now, if it's a third-party system, I kind of guess all bets are off, right? Because there's no telling what it supported and what it didn't.
I would say whoever installed it didn't bother installing safety features because it was a little too hard. You didn't see my air quotes. But,
yeah. Well, I mean, is it possible to install one of these things so wrongly that it would have put the car into drive when you started it?
Yes. You would be appalled if you knew some of the things that I know about what people do.
Well, I know, but...
to get around safety features. Well, look at me, man. My car has no airbags. I took them out.
But yeah, I mean, mine won't... I've had mine not remote start because it's had a sensor out. So, actually... A couple of years ago, we had it get so cold the car wouldn't remote start. It's like, that's what I wanted the most. But it would not remote start because it was so cold. The sensors had tripped and the tire pressure sensors had tripped. So it wouldn't remote start because of the tire pressure. So
that sucks.
Like anything flagging it, that car will not remote start. It'll just honk at you instead.
And I'd say that's what whoever the third-party installer was were like, well, do you want these features? There's, you know, fuck off. You know, I just want to start it from my kitchen on a cold winter morning. I don't want to have to check anything. So I guarantee you that's how it was installed. It's just a remote start, remote stop, no limits, no governs. No checks, no sensors.
I'm just trying to think how in the hell would... because obviously... it wasn't moving before he started it, right? So it would have had to kick it into neutral or drive from park when you started it, because otherwise it would have already rolled down and pinned itself against the other car when the dude got out of it the first time, right?
Well, if it's on automatic and say it was in drive and there's no engine or anything like that, it should automatically lock the gearing into place. So it shouldn't roll forward. Only if it's in neutral should it roll forward or backwards. Because the gearing is engaged when it is in drive.
So you think he stopped the car? I just didn't put it in park? I'm just speculating.
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people who've got very poor habits when it comes to parking vehicles. Like, they'll just leave it and drive, turn the vehicle off, and it doesn't move. So they just, it's generally women that do a thing like this. Don't want to, but it's same with, do you pull your handbrake on and do you hear it go click, 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 click when you pull it up?
Yeah.
And you're doing it wrong. You shouldn't hear that. You always push the button in. By hearing those clicks, you're actually wearing out the locking mechanism.
Oh, I push the button. It's just you don't. I mean, I usually pull it till it clicks if I'm using it.
Oh yeah, you pull it till it doesn't go any further. But I know a lot of people don't put their finger on the button to hold it in, so they just go up the gearing. It technically, if the car is in drive and it does start, they've got to have gotten around a lot of safety features for this. Because automatic cars won't start if they are in drive.
Yeah, that's why I'm just...
This is why I'm saying whoever's done this is... It's either a story that didn't happen or somebody has fucked with this car so hard that they've just gone...
That it was basically a safety hazard sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. So this is probably secondhand car yard.
I'm still thinking this is like... This is something else.
We spent way too much time on this story.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just thinking, like, this is something else completely different happened. Like, the dude was jumped, accused of, stealing something. So they beat the shit out of him and say, oh, no, the car's crushed him. I mean,
I just don't see how, even if you had four people, how you could push a car back, then let it go, only to have it hit him in the... Is something not right in this story?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, further, the more you look at it, it's like the UPS truck story. The more you look at it, the fucking weirder it gets. But
especially when you think about common knowledge on this shit. It's like, most cars don't work this way.
It's like two cameras just turned off and guards got sleepy. And a 7'3" man threw himself off. Anyway.
With bed sheets that would have taken at least 10 minutes to convert into rope.
Jesus Christ, Analog's got a great fucking download speed.
Yes, he does.
150 gig in less than an hour.
Yes, he does.
But I'm jealous, man.
I am too. Anyway. I'm hoping to move this summer, and that's going to be one of my prerequisites when I'm house hunting is, does it have good internet? Anyways, let's do this. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a high-performance WordPress login brute forcer with automatic concurrency for maximum amount of tries per second.
Does it come with an adjustable seat as well?
Yeah, kind of.
So you sold it. It sounded like you were selling me a car. It was great.
High-performance WordPress login brute forcer with automatic concurrency. Yep. It's a Rust package that will throw logins at a WordPress site. This is why you need things like fail to ban on your WordPress sites. But yes. Anyways, yeah, it's a brooder specifically for targeting WordPress. Very simple to use and apparently is very fast. Now, if you're going to run this thing, you need to understand it ain't quiet. if the website's monitored, if somebody's looking at those logs, they're going to see your IP address. Yeah, this is like as opposed to walking up and checking the door to see if it's unlocked or shaking the door to see if it'll come open. This is beating on the door till it falls over.
Yeah. This is mass zombie invasion. So if you're going to try this, head down to your local library.
Or Starbucks or,
Don't do it on your own machine.
Old people, some old neighbors who don't know how to secure their internet. Anyways, I shouldn't be encouraging this kind of. This is a testing tool. Actually, this would be a really good way to test your if you're setting up a web server and you want to see what kind of load it could handle.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
There's some good use for this, but yeah, bullshit. This is a WordPress brooding tool. We know exactly what this is for. So, fun to know about though. Fun to look at. The second thing I have for you tonight is much more interesting. This is an open source alternative front end to YouTube called Invidious. invidio.us. And
yeah,
this thing is a super lightweight YouTube front end, basically. It replaces using the website and no ads, none of that stuff. Now, here's the really fun thing. To go with it, there's a Firefox add-on that forces any requests to YouTube to instead go to the project's official stood-up version of the project running. So here's the source code to the front end, and then this add-on says anytime you try to go to YouTube, you're going to end up at this web page, and you get their interface for YouTube instead. So no ads, much faster loading, much lighter weight. You know, kind of up to you if you want to do it. But, you know, the thing's literally open source. And, you know, what are you going to do? So I think this is awesome, actually, especially when you've got the Firefox add-in and they're saying, yeah, you can't accidentally go to the wrong YouTube.
Yeah.
And if somebody sends you a YouTube link, it'll just pop it over into that interface.
I like the no need to create Google accounts.
Yep.
Good little find, huh?
You know, I just tested it with your link from Tucker Carlson for, God, last week. Because I just randomly scrolled up in TeamSpeak till I saw a YouTube link.
Oh,
and yeah, totally works. So, because I installed the add-on earlier. And, you know, there's the video. And that 1 second long Tucker Carlson thing, whatever it was, you were, it wasn't 1 second.
That was a full episode, but probably got deleted.
Oh, that might be why it's saying 1 second. This is probably just going to say pulled or something. But anyways, yeah. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I was just testing that, you know, linked things still work with that add-on. And it does, so I think that's awesome. And that's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit, the IRC. Tonight, myself, Sardonyx, and Psychros. And just as a reminder, we are going on hiatus until the first or second week of January, basically whenever we feel like coming back for holidays, New Year's, just the fact that there's not going to be much in the way of news stories that's not, you know, Trump, Trump, Trump.
Well, Brexit, Brexit, Brexit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, I think we did this last year. Went on break for like almost a month.
Yeah.
So, at least a couple of weeks off. But that's all I got. Are you? Closing thoughts?
I'm looking forward to YouTube self-destructing over the coming months. It's going to be an interesting ride. And do yourself a favor, support BitChute.
Is that whatever? Is that the general consensus of what everybody's going to move to?
No, I don't know, man. This is just me. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't do videos. I just enjoy scrolling through BitChute.
Okay.
The platform feels a lot like the beginning of YouTube when it first started. Everything and anything, you know?
Perfect. That's what you want.
They have I think it's a dark mode or something like that for live shows and things. I don't understand their currency or anything like that, but it's giving us I don't want to say a free speech platform, but they're allowing anything and everything that's not like pornography or anything like that, but I think you can occasionally show a booby. That's all I've got.
Cool. All right, well, I'm going to close this out then.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
But shut up, Wesley.